Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 long seasons of exile in the National League. Dedicated staff and passionate supporters celebrate the city's return to glory, the big time, all while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in that higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One's promised land? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio. You've never been nutmegged in your life, Nadia, on the field.
Oh, I have, but not by Tobin. No. I probably have a couple of times. I would say I'm one of those. I'd rather be punched in the face than be nutmegged. So I'm like, better not nutmeg me.
It's Rog back with another episode of The Women's Game, presented by Paramount Plus. And back with us today is the self-described T-Rex herself, that burst of uplift in human form. And what better way to relive the wonder that was Euro 2022 than to speak to my co-host who actually played in the thing, to take us inside the state of European football right now. Catch us up with all things NWSL. It's that icon of Danish football, racing Louisville striker, the only doctor I look forward to actually seeing. It's Dr. Nadia Nadi.
Hey Raj, how you been? Good seeing you again.
Oh, velkommen.
Mange tak. Det var sødt af rigtig meget. Det var sødt af
tak, tak, tak.
Tak, tak, tak.
Tak, tak.
That's probably Nadia. Two words you know. Welcome. Tak, tak, tak.
Busted again. Busted, busted, busted. Nadia. As pretty much every human being with a pulse knows by now, the Euros wrapped up last Sunday in truly glorious fashion. England winning. Yes, England winning, beating Germany in an unforgettable, grinding final. A rousing game and what feels, I hope, like a real inflection point for women's football in England and across Europe. We're going to break it down a little later in this pod, but I do want to talk first, Nadia, about your personal Euros tournament experience first. It's been the joy of this past month for me watching this tournament play out, the delirious packed stadiums. Can you describe what the atmosphere was like on the ground, witnessing it in person, experiencing it firsthand?
You know, when you're in a tournament, there's always like a hype. You feel the hype around it. Like you feel it in your nation, you know, your own country, but also when you arrive in the host nation. But this time, the hype just was like multiplied by a bigger factor than usual. It was, and you felt it when you arrived, you know, everywhere you went, before we were traveling, the media, the attention, people knowing what's going on. So I thought it was like a bigger deal. And also arriving in England, you know, feeling how well organized everything was and, you know, how the stadiums sold out. Usually the host nation always gets obviously a big crowd. But this time, even like other teams who weren't playing the host nation, you know, our games were sold out. So that was a great experience, you know, for us, for the fans, seeing that women's football getting there and then, you know, and obviously it's in England and, you know, the talk about, is it coming home? It's been, because every time there's a tournament, no matter what it is, it's always coming home somehow. But this time, I guess it came home. I'm happy that you know, the English fans get to experience it. And I think it's kind of ironic that it's the women's team that does bring it home. I think, again, this is just the beginning.
I ride with Team America now, Nadia, but I've got to say, there was something, just a residue of Englishness in me that really I found deeply moving. And that it was the women, that the English heroes, Harry Kane, Mason Mount, Phil Foden, it was not them on the Wembley turf. They were actually there in the stands losing their crap with the rest of England. And it is fascinating. We will discuss, and I'm fascinated by your perspective on this, about the actual impact that this is just the beginning of the journey. But I do want to start with your competitive bio in terms of the Euros? Because I am curious. You moved to Denmark when you were 12, and as per Danish law, you weren't able to get naturalized until you turned 18. Did you grow up watching the Euros, picturing yourself playing in that tournament, you know, representing Denmark, or was all of that a little abstract since you weren't even eligible to play for the team then?
Honestly, the funny story about this is that at that point, the Euros weren't getting that hyped. Like, you know what's going on, but you weren't seen everywhere. You had to really, really search for to find a link or something to be able to see, watch the matches. And it would only be shown on Danish television if you reach like semifinals, like, you know, end stage of in the tournament. So in that way, I kind of knew what was happening, but really never got to see it until later on. And for me, you know, being a part of it and now seeing that, you know, you have like 4 hours before the game even starts, like people talking about what is going to happen, how, and you interviewing people, that for me is like a big change, and it's amazing to see. And imagine how many kids and younger girls you're going to inspire by that. So that's a big change. But of course, you know, as a player, you always want to be a part of these big tournaments. And it's a magical moment to be a part of. You just almost feels like a dream when you're there, because it goes so fast and you're just in this zone, and you don't, everything you do is about for the next game. Okay, you eat, you sleep, you train just for the game, and you have nothing else to do. And then you suddenly feel the entire nation is behind you, and people you don't even know are cheering for you, because suddenly it's bigger. It's only football for me still, but still it just means a bit more, you know.
Yeah, out of darkness cometh light. This was most certainly a Euros that was played in the full glare of the continent's spotlight, which is exquisite. And you've seen that arc out of darkness, this tournament forcing its way onto the back pages of newspapers across Europe. You've now played in a remarkable 4 Euros. And I'd imagine 2017, when Denmark made it all the way to the final, ranks highest for you on a personal level. But where would you rate this 2022 tournament, just in terms of the experience itself?
I think for me, you know, it's kind of like two different tournaments. And the reason for this is because heading to the Euros in 2017, I was fully me. So it was like, you know, I was starting the games and I knew what I had to do, and it was just like a different vibe about it. And for me this time, I came in after the injury and wasn't 100%. So I felt it wasn't really my tournament, you know. I wasn't the person to carry my load that way. I wasn't expected like from no one. And then for me, not having that, it was weird, you know. So it was like mixed feeling. And on one hand, I am this person who wants to win and compete for everything. But on the other hand, you're like, I'm like, right now, I'm just not able to do the way I want things to do. So it was really, weird feeling. So I couldn't really compare those two, because it's, for me, two different tournaments. One side, I'm there, one of the main players, and the other one, I'm not even supposed to be there, to be honest.
I want to talk more about those conflicting emotions in a second, but big picture, we went into this Euros saying that this was going to be the most competitive field in the history of the tournament. Did it feel that way on the ground?
Before every big tournament, when you go into the final stages, or when you arrive at the camp, you know there are certain teams who are, okay, these are the favorite. But this time I felt there were so many teams. There was like so many teams that could go in all the way, and I felt, you see the squads and you're like, wow, these are amazing players, and they've prepared and they've been having great campaigns so far. So that way I felt it was every team arriving at their peak and everyone could win it. Of course, along the way things happens, you know. You see Spain losing two of their main players, who that would have played a huge role for them during the tournament. Having two like killers in the box, the way they play, they would probably have had different results. France losing their main attacker, who again is a beast in the box, before like even the tournament probably starting, you know. So in that way, as I said, everyone came in, but then certain teams were more unlucky than the others. And that's also the charm of a tournament. It's so unexpected. You can prepare for so many things, but once you're there, it's about how do you adjust to things, obstacles coming along the way, injuries, COVID, and infections, stomach infections, stomach flu, who the Swiss national team was dealing with. So there were so many things that was happening along the way. And at the end, you know, I think the team that kind of manages to overcome all of those is the one that's going to go furthest. And the team that manages to, like, you know, work with the pressure can go a long way. For me, I was a bit scared for the English national team because coming, having the, like, you know, Euros at your, in your own country, so much expectations. And you know how the English are, every time, as I said, there's a tournament, it's coming home. But this also does create an enormous pressure. So if you cannot handle the pressure, and if you maybe meet a bit of obstacle during the way, that pressure can have a negative impact on certain people or teams. But luckily for them, I felt they managed very well to deal with the pressure. And also I felt they never really got there where the pressure got so high that it started becoming negative.
As you've said, the Danish campaign at this Euros did not go as you wanted, as you yearned for, and a lot of people, myself included, hoped that you, Nadia, and your team could repeat the 2017 feat, go deep again. But you were bested by a tactically savvy Spain and a resurgent Germany this time around and did not make it out of the group stage. And you wrote about the conflicting emotions that you experienced on Instagram. And I loved what you wrote. You really, addressing that early exit, you said, I don't know what to feel or say. It sucks that I couldn't be more myself and do more. But I'm also proud to manage to get back from injury so quickly and be in England. I guess that's the best part of football. Can you talk about those conflicting emotions?
I think, you know, this is the best and worst part of football, is like all the emotions that you feel. Trying to kind of have a cold head during those emotions is sometimes important, because as I said, one side of me is like this, oh, I want to win. I want to do the best. I want to do better. I want to like compete, you know. So when that takes over, I feel like hurt, and I feel like, oh, that's so unfair that I wasn't myself. You're coming, as I said, to this tournament where everyone just like peaked. They're at their prime. They are going to be able to, at this point, they're like the best versions of themselves. And then you have me who is far away from it. So when I think about it that way, it hurts me. But then you try to kind of convince yourself, saying that, you know, but there's also the light in a positive way where you were not even supposed to be there, and then you make it happen. So those have been the emotions and thoughts I've had even the entire tournament, to be honest. At times feeling it's unfair, but the other time it's just the cards you've been dealt with, and it could be, you know, it could be always worse, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it could be worse, Nadia. Like me, you could be an Everton fan where disappointment is one of the dominant emotions that I experience in football.
Listen, I've been an Arsenal fan, so I kind of feel it.
Oh, the Everton of the South. But, you know, I do tell myself that's the best part of football, that there are so many emotions, and I do feel them so bloody deeply, 2 to 3 times a week. But I'm a fan, and you are an extremely competitive elite athlete. How do you make peace with having that disappointment and frustration as part of the experience of playing football? Do you make peace with it?
It's hard. At times, yes. I think you never make really 100% peace with it. I think you just learn how to live with it. But also, as I think as a human being, and the way I'm kind of coded or built, is that I try to always find the positives in every negative situation. And I think that's the way I cope with most of my feelings. It's, you know, I always say it could be worse, you know, at least I was there. But there I've, you know, like someone, Alexia, she just tore her ACL just like 2 days before their game. That's crazy, you know. So in that way, I always try to compare it also. And when you do that, you know that you still are, should be more grateful. So that's what I've been trying to do.
You know, I interviewed Antonio Conte last season, the Tottenham manager.
Yeah.
And I mean, a huge, huge winning mentality. And he told me that every time his team loses, that he dies for 24 hours. Those were his words. And he actually said, that's an improvement for me because it used to be 48, he said. And I'm curious, like, any loss for you, but particularly something really painful, like a tournament loss, a tournament that's every 4 years where your team eliminated prematurely. Are you like Conte? Is there a necessary mourning period?
I used to be one of those who actually couldn't sleep for 7 days. And obviously depends what kind of loss it is, how your performance been, what did you do, what that kind of plays a factor for me, honestly. If I felt like I gave everything I had or we gave everything we had and we still lost the game, then I'd be like, listen, fair enough, you met someone that was better than you. But if you feel like there's so much more to give and you still lose, it can take me seriously ages. I think the first game against Germany, like losing 4-0, the way we lost, that hurt a lot, I would say. And also, because you're in tournament, you don't really have time to moan about this and, you know, just and be, yeah, dead for 24 or 84 hours. So that way you have to kind of get your shit together faster. But still, it's one of those games we weren't prepared for what was coming. And that was painful. And also because I think we were better than what we showed that game.
And how do you process it? Like moving from your frustration, we should have done that. What if this had happened? How do you move it into that moment where you take that positive out of it, or you lean into it, or you take a lesson out of it, or you use that feeling to try and drive you on next time?
I remember we had a group chat after, you know, I think a day after, sitting there. We have a sports psychologist. A lot of the players were very young and stuff, you know, during a tournament, first tournament for them, some of them. And I remember saying to them that I think, you know what, coming to this tournament so far, we haven't really met world-class opponents. Our World Cup qualifier campaign has been against teams that are not at that level we've met so far. So I think maybe we were too naive coming in and believing that we are like, you know, we're going to do the same thing last Euros. And then we just got smashed the shit out of us. Sorry, my language. And I think, I said, you know, I think this is the moment where we have to step up and then kind of say, okay, wake up, everyone. This is the Euros. Everyone's coming here to win it. No one's coming here just to be a part of it. No one. And also because the next game was against Finland. And I think people may be thinking, oh, it's going to be an easy game. I was like, no, Finland are here because they deserve to be here as everyone else. So mentally, you need to like, okay, put that Germany game aside, get your shit together, and then focus and concentrate at how you can do things better in that game. So this is my approach, has always been, you know, as I said, depending how much time you have, I do what's necessary. So if I have 40 hours to prepare for the next game, I cope my emotions in those 40 hours. But if you have more, of course, you're going to have more time to deal with it. And during these tournaments, also, this is a big factor. How's your state of mind? How quick can you overcome things? I think using that frustration / anger that the first game gave us, I tried to use it as a fuel for my next game. Because I was like, I didn't do shit in the first game. I wasn't like, you know, I was on the ball 4 times. I want to do better in the next game. So trying to kind of get something out of even your defeat, I guess.
Big picture, what surprised you most about Euro 2022? Was it the culture around the tournament? Was there a team you didn't expect to come out as strong as they did? A player who wasn't on your radar going in?
I think for me, honestly, the biggest by this Euro has been the English coach.
Serena Wiegmann.
Serena, yeah. For me, I don't know, I'm surprised because I knew she's a great coach. But thinking of what she's done is just like mind-blowing. She took over a Dutch national team who weren't top team. They were a great team, but it wasn't like, oh, but you go to tournament, the Dutch are going to win it. It wasn't one of those teams. She went on winning the Euros with that team, bringing that team to, it was a World Cup final, and then taking over a new team. What was it? Less than a year. And then bringing them and winning the Euros with them. For me, that's massive. Like, I don't know, I've never seen that on the men's side, or actually I've never experienced this. So I don't know, it's a big thing, huh, when you think about it.
Yeah, there's an old footballing quote which we talk about a lot from the old Italian coach Giovanni Trapattoni, who said that a good coach can improve a team by 10%. A bad coach can make it worse by 30%. Is that what we take from watching Wiegmann do her magic with the Netherlands and then the English?
I think even it's more than 10% she's improved the team. I don't know. It just seems, I think one of the hardest things to change in a team or a player is their mentality. And I think she somehow manages to do so. And you can tell in the last game, for me, I think Germans were, to be honest, if you look overall, the Germans were a better team in the final. Like, you know, they had, especially second half, I think going to the extra time, I was like, okay, if this keeps going, the Germans are going to win this also because they felt more confident. But having the right mentality, the right moment, that's something very, very hard to teach. And England don't really have the history having the right mentality, men's or women's side. So having a coach that changed that in such a short time, that's remarkable.
Yeah, you know, I once interviewed Jose Mourinho and read him the Giovanni Trapattoni quote, and he said, it's correct, but a good coach can make a team at least 50, 60% better. He didn't believe in the percentages either.
I agree with Mourinho on that one. I think, like, you know, I think she did more than 10%.
Paramount Plus is your choice for championship soccer.
A Messi tour de force!
Streaming the best teams and biggest stars in America and around the world.
Giant stars, huge action.
From UEFA Champions League and Serie A.
Weston McKennie!
NWSL and the CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers.
A milestone moment for the United States!
Plus the best action from South America and Asia.
Oh my, what a goal!
So how do you choose from so many champions? You don't have to. This is the best of CBS Sports. Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You know what feels even better than correctly predicting the outcome of a football game? Winning up to 100 times your cash while doing it. Cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. We love easy gameplay here at Men in Blazers. Just love it. Easy gameplay. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments of the sports season. Look, for Everton fans, it's not been the easiest campaign, although it hasn't been the worst either yet. But one way to make those Sean Dyche-induced draws more exciting, Prize Picks. Love smashing more on Jordan Pickford saves, less on Michael Keane passes completed, and much, much less on Beto goal contributions. Oh, it allows me to feel good about feeling bad. Download the app today and use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Let's talk about that final. Where were you watching? Take us there.
I watched the final. I'm in the US, so I watched it from my apartment. We have English players here on the team. We unfortunately don't have any German, but it was like, you know, during the warm-up and the training, everyone was kind of like talking, and our physical coach were asking. She's from England herself, by the way, and she's trained a lot of the girls who are on the English national team because she was our strength and coach in Man City. So, you know, Nikita Parrish, Kira Walsh, Jill Scott, Laura Hemp, and so on. Like, she knows them personally because she's been training them for years. So obviously she was like a big England fan, but she wanted to know who everyone else was thinking and who were betting. And I said what the result might be, you know. And I said, you know what, it's going to be a tactical game. But I think that the Germans are going to win that game. That was my thought prediction before.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Nadia, the England-Germany rival. You know,
I know
that,
yeah.
The Germans always find a bloody way to win. 8 times champions, England. I think I beat them like twice in 27 games before this. I mean, did you even think England had a chance going in?
For me, of course, I knew they had a chance. But I also knew that, as I said, the Germans are, what makes them so good is their mentality. And this is something that they have. Big tournaments, they're always there. And I don't know how they do it, but it's in their like history. Men's, women's side, both. They're always there in the big tournament. And also seeing how adaptable the team was, you know, like how well they could adapt during different games. Made it a very strong team. So for me, I was like, this is probably it. And also the pressure. I didn't knew if England's going to be able to handle that pressure, that expectations. And it's a decent young team, you know. So those were the factors, the reason that I thought Germany might come on top of this final.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the German mentality, and we always laugh. The Germans have a word for it, but they do. They have a word. I think it's something like Turniermannschaft, which is
that
they are a tournament team that plays itself into contention. And my God, did they ever, arriving under the radar, but revealing themselves in the tournament as a clenched fist. And the game itself was some intense emotional spectacle. England taking the lead with audacity and composure. Toon's delicious poem of a chip. All that time to race in on goal. Almost too much time to think in such a big game. Yeah. As a striker yourself, how would you rate the difficulty of that finish on the scale of 1 to 10?
You know, I'll say I know El Toon very well because she was in Man City when I was there, and she was like, you know, a young talent, like amazing technique, like so good. And one of the things I always remember was she loves to chip, like that's her thing. And also in training, you will see her train crossbars, like trying to chip it. So I know she has the technique, but being able to be that composed during a final in, like, you know, against Germany with so many people watching, that's world class. You know, I think it's just instinct at that moment. She's not even thinking because she's been doing this for such a long time, and it just felt for her naturally to do it. I don't think anyone else have done that finish, because it's El Toon and because it's in her. She didn't even thought about it.
God, I love that. As she was racing in on goal, you who have trained with her, watch this human being just chip, 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 put in a 10,000 hours hitting crossbar after crossbar intentionally. Did you get that sensation? Oh my God, she's going to do it. And how much harder is it to do it in training than it is with 90,000 people at Wembley and the whole nation depending on you in that moment?
Yeah, that's probably a rhetoric question. A lot harder, but not impossible, as she, you know, she showed. I was happy for her. I think it was a great finish, a world-class finish, and then good for her.
Training pays off. Germany, though, doing what Germans do. They drew level. They took the game to extra time. And the entire population of England braced for another loss to Germany on penalties. And I'm fascinated, extra time mentally, Nadia, it just seemed to shatter every single player in a way that I've rarely seen. Even many of the substitutes seemed mentally, physically exhausted as the clock ticked on. That act of perseverance, what does it feel like?
During the tournament, you play so many games and it's exhausting. Reaching that level at the end, you are literally physically exhausted. You could tell by the players, but also mentally, because as I said, you are in this camp group, same people for four weeks, because you're pre-camp. So getting there at the end, you don't really have a lot of resources like left. And you could tell by the players, you know, the extra time, everyone was just like almost zombies. But I think it adds up also to, again, because it's a final and you don't want to up, you don't want to lose that final. So the subs who usually have more energy, I think they are almost inhibited because of the, you know, the importance of the game. But at the end, I felt that, again, Serena did had better subs than we saw the German coach do, because at the end, it's her subs who go in and change the game. While I thought the subs coming in for Germany didn't really do the same damage.
Oh, and it was one of those substitutes. Chloe Kelly in the 110th minute off the bench. Second chance to poke it home. Just a moment of glory marked by the English Brandy Chastain tribute celebration. And I've actually been fascinated in the wake of victory, in the post-match interviews, the number of England players, including England captain Leia Williamson, post-game talk immediately how this, the home team winning a massive trophy on hallowed turf before a sold-out crowd from their own nation, really talking about this as England's 99er moment.
The US team has always been a pioneer in the women's game. I think no matter, you cannot take that away from them ever. And as you said, it started in the 90s, 99, and it's kind of been always there. And every big tournament, I think they are the ones kind of that push the envelope. But now, you know, England's joining, more Europeans kind of following their steps. And then Chloe doing what she did, taking off her shirt, I thought it was like a brilliant move. But I don't think that's something that she's been thinking about it. I was just happy for her because I know she came back from an ACL injury, and I know her injury has been tough and something that's been struggling with a lot of setbacks. And, you know, she came over that and scoring in a final Euros against Germany in overtime. That's kind of like a movie. So good for her. Great celebrations. And I love the fact that when you read comments about the celebrations or people talking about it, it's nothing. She's not been sexualized. She's not been ridiculed or made fun of. It's actually appreciation of her talent, and that she has taken off her shirt doesn't really change anything by that. And for me, that is a big change in the women's game, and a big change in society, because now you look at the players as athletes, not just like, hey, a woman or a girl.
Which brings us to the subject of change and this really just transcendent tournament in general, and the post-mortem immediately going into what will its impact be, what will its legacy be. This match played out with almost 90,000 fans in the stand, the highest attended Euro final in history for either men or women, the highest television rating in England of any television program all year. And the England women said at the start of the tournament they knew if they'd win, they could usher in a new era of women's football in England. And I hope it's clear that they've done that. I hope we'll see the fruits of all of their work in the immediate wake of this tournament. But in your mind, does this have implications beyond England? I saw an incredible stat yesterday that the three highest attended football matches in Europe this year of any kind have all been women's games. This one and two at the Nou Camp for Barcelona. Nadia, you have played in leagues around the world. You've lived through your fair share of false dawns for the women's game. But does this feel like the real deal to you, a genuine global turning point?
I think it's a big, big moment for sure. If it's going to like change everything, I don't think so. I think it's a big step, definitely. And I think also, you know, usually you get these moments during big tournaments, and because of the hype and everything, it's going to inspire people, I know for sure. I know it's going to be a part of changing point of views and how women's football has been seen upon, definitely. But is it going to change everything overnight? No, that's not going to happen. It's just like the steps that you have to take. Everything takes time, step by step. And this, again, was like one of those steps, as you've seen the last year, you know, as you mentioned, you know, El Clasico having so many attendance. And this is the next step. Are we going to see those games the entire year? No, that's not going to happen. But you're going to see more attendance for sure.
Women's Super League will resume mid-September. I really cannot wait to see the knock-on effect that this has for that. I do need to ask you about Alexandra Popp, 31-year-old Germany captain, German goal machine, German talisman, who, and this was so cruel to watch, having to pull out the starting lineup after injuring herself in pre-match warm-ups, had to watch from the sidelines in tears at kickoff, and then there's the trophy and the golden boot just slipped through her grasp. Cruel, cruel twist of fate for a woman who really revealed herself in this tournament to be an icon of the German game. Nadia, you've done your bit of watching from the sidelines over the past year. What did it feel like for you to see her? How hard is it to watch someone who should have been in that game and unable to do anything about it to influence the outcome?
Honestly, I was heartbroken for her. And this is the, you know, the beauty and the cruelty of the game. It's, as I said, it's so unpredictable. I think that's the reason why we love the game, because you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, Germans having one of their main players during the tournament, you know, as you said, the Deutsche Maschine, the goal machine, taken away before the final, before the kickoff, during the warm-up, that's heartbreaking. And for her personally, that's going to suck for a long time, I'm pretty sure. But you know what? I think her history of injuries has kind of been the thing that have held her back, because this is her first Euros ever. And I know Pop's been around for ages. I feel like she's been there for like a really long time. You've been hearing that name forever. And it's just hard to watch it end that way, you know, because I think, again, it'll be a different game if she was a part of it. But if that's, again, in football, you can have so many ifs, but that's not going to help anything.
We'll never know. Last one, player of the tournament for you, out of everyone who kicked a ball, who would you like to be able to pick as a future teammate and why?
I was surprised by watching Oberdorf, the German six. She became the youth player of the tournament. I thought, you know, obviously playing against her and then seeing her, I thought really, really good player, great player. Beth Mead, obviously winning player in tournament, I guess, I think she deserves it because of, you know, the goals and assists and involvements. But I don't know, I mean, there's been so many, it's hard to choose one. But for me, as I said, the highlight's been for me Pop to watch. And the reason is because she stepped up in big games, you know, scoring two goals, semifinals, being like a real goal-getter inside the box. That was cool to watch. And having, you know, you can feel that passion through also her goal celebrations. I loved it. So for me, I think she has been one of the highlights of the tournament, definitely.
Oh, Mary Earps is the right answer.
Paramount Plus is your choice for championship soccer.
A messy tour de force!
Streaming the best teams and biggest stars in America and around the world.
Giant stars, huge action.
From UEFA Champions League and Serie A.
Weston McKennie!
NWSL and the CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers.
A milestone moment for the United States!
Plus the best action from South America and Asia.
Oh my, what a goal!
So how do you choose from so many champions? You don't have to. This is the best of CBS Sports. Streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. To the NWSL, back from the break and bigger than ever. Weekend started off with a 6-goal thriller between North Carolina and Washington Spirit. Two teams trading goals back and forth, ended in a 3-3 draw. Or to put it in a slightly less generous way, Washington giving up their lead three separate times. Agony for them to walk away again with 1 point instead of a much needed three. Nadia, when your team is on a winless streak, like the Spirit are right now, and you just can't seem to hold on to a win, does it start impacting your life? Do you get superstitious at all? Do you change up your routine to try and change things, or do you just keep on doing what you're doing and know it will change?
I think, you know, this probably is also a bit of our season right now. I think we do the right things, but it just doesn't hit right now. And there's different approach. And for me, I think it's important to keep doing the same thing. Of course, you have to believe that's going to come. Because if you see you're doing everything right most of the time, and then that you have to keep on. But the main thing is, like, you know, mentally, how do you keep mentally that, you know, still keep being positive and believe that's going to happen, even though you're like, your results are not showing that? I think that's the hard question. And honestly, I don't really have an answer for that, because it's something that I work with on myself. You try really always to be, listen, we're going to make this happen. We're going to make this happen. Having that like hardcore belief is going to help you. But obviously after losing the game, and even though you had your chances, it's hard. It's hard.
To a happier news, Saturday, the San Diego Wave made history. 1-0 win over the Chicago Red Stars. 17-year-old Jaden Shaw scored the game-winning goal, became the youngest NWSL player ever to score in her professional debut. But arguably, the most impressive fact of the game was that the Wave managed to hold on to that victory despite playing most of the second half down to 10 after Abby Dolkemper was sent off for a second yellow in the 60th minute. Nadia, playing with 10 players, for fans, it can feel like a death sentence. How does it feel internally as a player on the field? How, mentally, the realities of the game with 10 players for you?
Honestly, at times it's almost harder to play against 10 players. And the reason for this is because those 10 players who are on the field suddenly think, oh, we're man down. We need to step up everyone. So you suddenly get like 10 players who are way more, you know, active and hardworking than you when they were 11. So at times it's actually harder to play against them. So I think that's what happened in San Diego. You know, you know that you have to step up your game and you have to add more to, you know, fill up the gap. And then and impressive that they, you know, they manage it. And then it's not the first time I've seen that.
The other Saturday highlight, OL Reign scoring 3 goals in the second half to propel themselves to a 3-2 win against Angel City in a delirious atmosphere. The last goal, an 89th minute strike by Tobin Heath, her first goal since her return. And in typical Tobin fashion, a nutmeg straight through the legs of Angel City goalkeeper Didi Haracic. The nutmeg, a move with so much swagger, so much emotional baggage. You know, we think of it as an embarrassing way to be beaten. Born of street football, football played on playgrounds, training grounds to show someone that you're levels above. Is there any leftover twinge of embarrassment when you're nutmegged by a world-class player like Tobin?
Not really, you know. I think, I don't know, I've never experienced it myself, so, but, you know, good for Tobin and doing her thing. I'm happy for her. I love Tobin. I love to watch her. You know, I had my time with her in Portland Thorns. I think she's an amazing player. And seeing her come and doing her thing the way she usually does with a nutmeg, scoring a goal, made me happy for her. Definitely.
You've never been nutmegged in your life, Nadia, on the field.
Oh, I have, but not by Tobin. I probably have a couple of times. I would say I'm one of those. I'd rather be punched in the face and be nutmegged. So I'm like, better not nutmeg me.
Oh my God. I asked Tyler Adams when he was nutmegged in a game and I asked him what that feels like. He's like, dude, I have been nutmegged so many times on the field, you just become dead to it.
Oh, wow.
But I love that.
Yeah, no.
I love that. You would rather be punched in the face than nutmegged.
Yes, definitely. Because you feel like your soul just left you. Like, oh,
remember that, OL Reign, when you play Nadia and Racing Louisville tonight. And last, some really magical news from last week. Gotham announced 2 new investors into their team ownership. Sue Bird, WNBA legend, and former Giants and Super Bowl winning quarterback Eli Manning. Gotham really racking up an ownership group which is almost as star-studded as Angel City's. As a player, when you see that, does that inspire you?
I think it inspires me, makes me happy and proud, because you know that we're on the right way. You know the interest is growing. You know when these people are, you know, becoming investors and being owners of teams means that we're doing something right, you know. So that way, definitely a huge joy and a big thing for the women's game.
We've got to give a shout out to another announcement from last week. My friend Heather O'Reilly, the US legend who retired in 2019. We actually taped a truly beautiful podcast with her when she retired that was emotionally devastating just to record. Such was her pain at the retirement announcement. She's come out of retirement to play for Shelbourne, 2021 Irish League winners. And the background story is that she played Soccer Aid, the large charity tournament played annually at Wembley. And none other than Arsene Wenger came up to her after the game and said, you should still be playing. And Nadia, God, I love this story. Is that every player's fantasy to have one of the greatest managers of all time come up to them after they've long retired and urge them to get back into the game?
I guess it is. I mean, having the professor coming up to you and telling you, you should be playing. That's a big thing. I didn't even know this. I heard she came back and wanted to play again. And I was like, that's perfect. Like, if she feels fresh, go ahead. But having been told by Arsene Wenger, that's a big deal, huh? She then definitely be like, okay, I'm going to start today.
10, 15 years from now, 20 years, when you have finally retired and Wenger comes up to you, Nadia, and tells you, you should still be playing professionally. Do you even hesitate for a moment?
15 years from now, I'll be like, oh, Arsene, let's have a chat. Let's sit down and Maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, God, Arsene, I am ready. Put me in right away.
I love Arsene.
I can give it. He's an amazing human being.
Oh, really? He seems so intelligent. I don't know. Just around him. I met him in Qatar in Doha, a game. And usually I don't really want to take pictures with anyone. I'm like, you know, it's just like, it's cool. I respect them, but I'm not fangirling over most people. I saw him and I was like, oh my God, I need to take a picture. So I went there. I was like, can I please take a picture with you? Because I'm such a big fan. Also because I'm an Arsenal fan. And I've been, one of the reasons is him, you know. So he has this intelligent aura around him. When he walks, you're like, this guy looks smart. Knowing him, not knowing him.
He's not big on smiling.
No.
In your photograph, did he manage?
A fake smile.
Fight your arm off for a fake smile from Arsene Wenger. Yeah. That's it for this week. And you can catch Nadia's Racing Louisville this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern when they take on the Washington Spirit. That game will be followed by the Thorns against North Carolina Courage, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, CBS Sports Network. On Sunday, San Diego Wave host Kansas City Current, 5 p.m. on Paramount Plus. Same place, 6 p.m. The Chicago Red Stars host Gotham. Same time, 6 p.m. Houston Dash travel to OL Reign for Nutmeg City. The nightcap, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Orlando Pride against Angel City on Double P. And talking of Double P, try it free on us by going to paramountplus.com/MIBTWG. That's paramountplus.com/MIBTWG. Nadia, as always, I'm going to leave the last word to you. Can you end this podcast by telling us something that's bringing joy to your life right now?
I think something that brought joy to my life this morning is, so when I flew to pre-camp Euros Denmark, I lost my baggage. This is, what, 8 weeks ago? Everything in it, lost it.
Oh,
and I haven't heard anything from them. I know, I was so upset about it. You know, I was like, I kind of gave up the hope that I'm ever going to see my bag again. But this morning, I got a call and they said, hey, Nadia, after 8 weeks, we saw that you've lost your baggage. And I was like, great, thank you. So now I'm communicating and I might actually find my bag back. So this was a great day for me. I was like, you know what? Never lose hope, Nadia, because you never know what life's going to give you tomorrow.
My God, you go off to a tournament with your lucky cleats, your lucky everything, all of it gone.
I know, I mean, this is what it is. And also, I don't believe in luck, so I lost everything, but I don't think they were lucky.
Oh, if this is not a opportunity for Apple AirTags to come in and sponsor Nadia Nadim, I do not know what is. Nadia Nadim, it is genuinely a joy to speak to you. Tak skal du hev.
Det var så lidt. Det var en fornøjelse. Tusind tak. Det var sødt af dig.
What she said. And we'll be back next Thursday. Godspeed, America. Courage. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.